Blog Talk Radio.
Look for the good in everything. Look for the people who will set your soul free. It always seems impossible until it's done. Look for the good in everyone.
Good in everyone.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters and the Twisted Mister or Two. I want to take the opportunity to welcome Naomi aboard. Hey, Naomi. Welcome to the
party. Hello.
And this is your first. Very nice.
Yeah,
very
nice. I'm all excited.
Yep, and hello, Pam. Yes, Pam.
Hi, Dean. Hi, Naomi. Good to hear you both.
Hi, Pam. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. Looking forward to the show. Got an awesome lineup of poetry.
Yeah, fun, yes. Joyful poetry tonight, I think. The amazing.
Nice.
And that song,
No, I was just going to say, why don't you tell us about your inspiration for your show tonight? That's all.
My daughter, I have her, the artist, that's the art of Sam Toff, and I have her art all up, all over my house. And when my daughter came over and she looked, I told her about the radio show, and she took one look at the pictures and said, "Oh, Mommy," she said, "you know, I have the perfect song for that art. You know, it's soft, it's fun, it's loving, it's whimsical, just like the art." So I said, "Oh, yeah." So, wow, okay. So that's how I chose the song. And, Sam Toft, I thought she was a Canadian artist, but she isn't at all. She's from the United Kingdom, and she was born in 1964. And her ambition was to work in a post office at the beginning. And, she uses her quirky artwork. And it's sold all over the world now. And the two characters that you see in the artwork are Ernest Mustard and Violet Mustard, Mr. Mustard and Mrs. Mustard, and with all their eccentric pets and friends. So she was strolling down the sea, by the sea one day, and she saw this man, and it looked like what the Ernest Mustard there, one of her characters, and she kind of copied him, and she called him Ernest Mustard. So Ernest Mustard and his wife Violet Mustard, in those whimsical, fun, joyful paintings of hers. So I just love her painting, so thought it would be great for the first show.
I think it's a great choice. It's a great choice. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So let's see now. We have a caller on the line. And let me pick them up.
Okay.
And I believe it's Adam. So let's say hello.
Yep, it's me.
Adam.
Hello.
Hello, Adam.
Hello. Hello, listeners. What's up?
We don't know. Well, some of us don't know. Oh, my God. So, Naomi, what do you want to do, girl?
Yeah, well, I'm going to kick this show off with Budo. And he wrote a special song that for the art tonight. And it's a wonderful song, so we'll listen to it. And I think that's a wonderful way to start off the show tonight. So I put the link up.
Here we go. Here we go.
It was me and you, yeah. True blue, buds on banana bikes, on the long Saturday hike. We were helter and skelter, roving nomads seeking shelter. So fun. candy craze at the neighborhood store. Got our fix and maybe more. And maybe more. Cause those were the best of days in the hot summer haze. Just chilling with my villain. It was just me and Dylan. A flag held high of the world. It was us against the world. Cause it was just me and Dylan. Against the world.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
I thought maybe I was all by myself for a second.
No, not Naomi. Are you on mute?
No, I'm here. Are you doing taking the comments, Pam?
No, remember I told you you were.
Oh, I was. Oh, yes. Okay. So,
yeah.
Well, I'll go with you first, Pam, then on this. Your comment.
All right. Well, I have to say that I just thought this was absolutely wonderful. You know, as always, it's a delight to listen to Boodle sing, and his songwriting is spot on. I really enjoyed the nostalgic feel of this. I enjoyed how it took us back to the time of innocence, of banana seat bikes, of buddies spending time together, and I like it all the way through, but I particularly like the part where it says, you know, our flag held high unfurled, it was us against the world. So, very well done.
Mm-hmm. And Adam, what did you think?
I thought it was amazing. It was so Dylan-esque, too, like the way one of the singers was singing it. I don't know if they were all him, textured over himself. It was great, though. I liked the one voice was very reminiscent of Dylan in the way it sang. And, of course, that kind of folky style, it fit along with the picture he chose. like 100%, mm-hmm. you know, and it's interesting that he kind of took a Americana classic and attached it to this English artist, though. It was kind of interesting because, you know, a lot of that was tied together that time in the 50s and the 60s. And throughout, you know, it kind of there was a schism later where that music kind of separated from each other, where they were no longer feeding back and forth anymore. I loved it, and my favorite thing was just me and Dylan Against the World. But it brought a kind of melancholy into me for some reason. Even though he says it was the greatest of days, I think that's only in hindsight that he feels that. I think in the moment, you know, being it's just you and your let's say whatever artist was the one that touched you the most as a child, like a teenager, when you're trying to find yourself. If it's only you and that artist that you're hearing, that's lonely as hell. And then maybe so it's only in hindsight that he can say it was the best days. Maybe because there's a wish to go back to the past, the simpler times. But to me, it was melancholy, but yet he doesn't say it at all that it was melancholy. There's no words to say it was that I can really get because he said it was the best of days, you know. So, but I still feel kind of, like, sad about it. It's been great, amazing talent. Way to go, Budo. Wow.
And Gene, what about you?
Well, I want to take an opportunity to let you know that we have Martha Gettle on the line as well.
Oh, wow.
I picked her up while the song was playing.
We got to team them up.
Just wanted to give you that head up.
Hi,
and
Martha.
I'm going to tell you something.
Hi.
How good is it?
Hi, Martha.
Hi.
Did
hey.
You hear the song?
Yeah, it was wonderful. It's great journey back into the past and reliving memories and getting lost in the past. I really enjoyed it.
Mhm. Yes, great comment. I did too. And Jean?
Well, Adam, number one, if you keep stealing the words out of my head, I'm going to sit here and not say nothing. Because I was typing up my comment. And it was the second line in, and I said it was very Dylan-esque. And, of course, then you said Dylan-esque, and I'm like, really? I'm going to beat him up. But it was. It had a real Dylan tone to it or vibe to it, and I kind of appreciated that. Because it's very noticeable. But, you know, Budo is the man of a thousand voices. Every time I hear him sing something, that reminds me of something. What is it? I can never put my finger on it. But tonight was easy. And that it was very well done. And I have to agree with Pam. You know, there is a great sense of nostalgia in it. I think he did an excellent job with it. And I have to also say that, I say a lot, don't I? Not much of anything, but a lot. I have to agree with the melancholy angle on that, Adam. And I think it was just the tone of the music kind of gave you that reminiscent melancholy sound. Kind of like days gone by, like they're gone, you know. I liked everybody's observations, and I have to agree with everybody totally. Nice work, Budo, and thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll be quiet now.
Well, I think if you take the painting you wrote to, though, that, you know, that nostalgia, that melancholy comes through in that painting. You don't see those, like, those stores around anymore very much now. It's overtaken by Walmart and, you know, all these big stores. So I think this song was really appropriate to that picture right there, you know. And I love this song because also it's written to the painting, but also I think it captures the kind of art that is highlighted tonight, you know, the summer and the just the nostalgic feeling of just, you know, those days gone by, the way the artist paints and with her the way she paints and everything. So I thought this was an amazing, amazing song for tonight to start off the show. So let's go on. Let's put up a little bit of Oak Blue. And If Adam, if you want to read that.
Yeah, I'm kind of just waiting for the, I can go look through the, I'm just waiting for the pop-up, maybe.
No, it's, I just put it up.
Oh, shadows on the sky. Cool. Casting shadows in the sky. Everyone should pause for just a bit each day, gaze at the sky, notice it's blue or gray, or perhaps the drops pouring from its eyes, or the bolts of lightning thrown into the wind. If you have a dog, encourage him to gaze as well. Perhaps he'll see a rabbit in the stars, or an image of a fractious cat he might chase across the clouds. Don't forget to include your children. They too need hope and wonder. Mystery of the infinite, power of the unknown, invading their thoughts, inspiring their imaginations. For some, it's an apple a day. For me, it's catching a wisp of clouds parading across the horizon, making shapes of places I've never been, but hope to go someday. End poem.
What a wonderful write. Martha, what did you think?
Oh, it's beautiful. I always like to look at the clouds. Used to be one of my favorite things to lay on the ground and look at the clouds. I think it's a beautiful, beautiful tribute to that, and including your kids and even your dog. I think it's just wonderful.
Indeed. And Pam?
Yeah, I thought this had a wonderful imagery to it. I like how, to me, this is about taking time to appreciate, you know, the simple joys of life, of spending time with family, of finding the picture in the stars and the picture in the clouds, and really just appreciating the beauty of life. So just an excellent write and very well done.
And what about you, Jean?
You know, I thought this was a wonderful write. I think that the imagery was good, and I think it gave you that kind of, you know, relaxed feeling you get when you do look and do some cloud watching, you know. And I think, yeah, it was really well done. So great job, Blue. Mm-hmm.
And Adam, you read it. What did you think?
I thought a lot of the same stuff. I love that. You know, he didn't only touch on you know, cloud, like watching the sky, but like the night sky too. And then the insights that they can bring, you know, the wonder of the infinity, the possibilities, the hope to let your mind just saunter about and dream, to dare to dream, you know. People are always in such a rush. What's there to look at? What are you looking at? You know, I've heard these things in my life, like, why are you, who cares about an ant on the ground or the blade of grass? But this is the deepness of the true world. To see those things and see the world and see important aspects therein is very important. People are too much in a rush to get to do whatever, and this is just a beautiful tying into the picture, you know, the nostalgia. He's looking off into the sky, you know, all the pictures. It's like this elderly man or couple, so they've already either retired, you imagine, you know, in your mind, and they're just living their life now, traveling around with their pets. And he also touches that, he teaches to your children, teach them to wonder, teach them to dream. It's important, and I love it.
Yeah, that's an awesome comment. I love this. If you have a dog, encourage him to gaze as well. Perhaps he'll see a rabbit in the stars or imagine a fractious cat he might chase across the clouds. I thought it was just so enchanting a light, and it captured the art so wonderfully there, taking time for the sky. And I noticed writing through the rites, taking time for the sky was one of the most popular prompts. People really liked that one. So this was just an amazing write, Oak Blue. Okay,
nice.
So we'll go on. We'll put in Jeff.
Okay, Naomi, before you go on, I want to let you know you have two more callers. So we have Kel on the line.
Wow.
Hi,
Kel.
Hi, Naomi. I told you I'd call.
Hey,
Kel.
Thank you so much.
Just a little
make that
late.
Three.
Oh, no, you're just in time.
Oh, good.
Now, Naomi, we also have Wayne Zent on the line. Hello, Wayne.
Hey.
Hello,
Wayne.
How you doing, guys? Nice to be here. Nice to hear you. Glad to be here.
Thank you so much, Wayne, for calling in. Did you guys happen to hear the last piece?
I did.
No, I just got here. I'm sorry, I just got here. I didn't hear. I ain't heard nothing yet. Except y'all talking, but
okay. Okay.
And
you
Naomi,
want to comment?
You have one more caller.
Pardon me. Another one. Oh yeah.
Yeah, we do. I believe this is Frank on the line. Hello, Frank.
Oh, wow. Hi, Frank.
Hello.
Oh.
Hello there, my friends. Hello there.
Hello, Frank.
Hello there.
Hi,
hello,
Frank.
There.
Thank you
hello
so
there,
much
friend.
For calling in.
It's always a pleasure.
So appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Did you hear the last poem, Frank?
Unfortunately, I didn't hear the full extent of the poem, no, but I will. I'll comment afterward. I'll leave a comment.
Oh, yeah, no problem. So we'll put up in the next one. I'll put up one by Saint John. Coming. There we go. Okay, so Wayne, would you like to read this one by Saint John?
I'm gonna hold off this time. I just got through reading one on another station. I'm trying to catch my breath. I just got off the other station. I'm just trying to give me about 5 minutes to catch my breath.
Okay, well, Frank, then you can go ahead, maybe.
I'd have to. I'm still refreshing mine. I'm not able to see the poem yet.
Well, Cal, then.
Yeah, Cal.
Three times a charm.
Well, I'm ready to go.
Yeah, that's it.
I just read.
Go for it, Cal.
Okay. Wished It Rained by St. John 9999. I loved you a bit, then a lot, then reached a few stars, then entire canopy, yet you took away the lights, not one, but all, and left only darkness for me. I shed warm tears, remembering when your soft spring used to be in my arms, the days when we locked eyes, now you turned a blind eye, our communications are dead. Leaving me so sad, the days when your smiles came in free to adorn me, in my face when your lips sought mine, now you send in not blooming roses, but sharp twines, and they dig my heart to pain, and I wish hard for that rain in which my tears would be lost and gone. And home. Aww.
Awesome, right, Rita. Awesome read, Cal. Wayne, did you think of this poem?
Well, this poem was a great read. This poem is sad. It's kind of sad. He just misses his woman so bad, and man, it's a heartbreaker. But it's a good poem, and we're written, but it broke my heart didn't read it. It's a very good poem.
Great comment, Wayne. And Frank?
Yes, there is that sentiment expressed here throughout the poem that had that sad effect there. But I thought it was very visceral as well. You know, the poem really just brought in, you know, seeped with just this is what makes poetry such a beautiful thing. You can find a common ground of expression throughout a poetry, you know.
Wonderfully said. And Martha.
Oh, it was a beautiful lament of lost love and how it feels to be left behind and the one you love no longer even notices you.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And Adam?
I felt the same thing. You know, there was some very subtle, unique imagery here. That I liked a lot throughout. Like there's different types of metaphors that just aren't common all the time. And I think it was something about the way he said it, the way he wrote it at times. It was, you could tell it was very romantic in the sense, you know, how he said the things he said. And it's definitely, you know, sad, very tragic. It was a very good write, very personal, I feel it was. And I loved it. And it is what it's, you know, it is what poetry is about, you know, touching the heart and being felt above all.
Exactly. And Pam, what did you think?
I thought it was a beautiful and emotive write about the sadness and anger felt when love is lost. So very well done.
And Kel, you read it?
I thought it was a very emotive, heartfelt piece. A really, not blooming roses, but sharp twines, and they dig my heart to pain. This is very heart-wrenching when you think of it that way. It's very beautifully written in that sense, you know, that, you know, he puts so much into of himself into the right. It's absolutely beautiful. Poem, but it's very sad.
Yeah, I thought it was a heart-wrenching poem, too. Very beautifully written. Phil, are you there? Or?
I am. I am here. Yes,
yeah.
I am. And we have another caller. How about
yeah.
that? We got another caller, and then I'm going to come in for you. Hey, Wayne. 703, who's calling, please?
Oh, yeah, I don't know. It's some stranger, some weird guy out of the past.
Hi, Tom.
Good evening. I could have just done heavy breathing, but you might take that wrong.
Did you happen to hear the last poem, Tom?
No, I just got here in time to hear you give your last comment, so, you know.
Okay. Well, Tom, since you're here, do you mind just jumping in and reading the next one?
No, I got no problem doing that. I'm easy.
Well, this is one from Dan Cicino.
Return
yes,
to
I
Childhood
know.
By Daniel Cicino. As I look for the difference between darkness and light, I realize it is mythology to the blind. As I look for the difference between wealth and poverty, I discover it has no meaning to those who are content. I walk alone through my house and see everything I have gathered. There once was a time when all that I possessed, I did not. I was happy then. Am I happier now? Interesting phase or phrase, alone through my house. When my family returns and I am not alone, house turns to home. As I continue to ponder, dawn slowly illuminates through my windows. The things I have bought and gathered shine as heavy, burdening chains of attachment. My house, my home, reveals itself as a temporary shelter. As mid-morning sun arrives, illumination begs for entrance. I open the curtains and sunbeams dominate the room, yet it is not the dirty windows, dust-filled air, or the floor, worn out from years of travel that is revealed. For I see true treasured possessions as significance of actions and experience. And I feel my true home with the ones that smile when I arrive. I wonder what more can sunlight offer me. As I turn, I see a door. As it opens, to my surprise, an entire world is on the other side. I step outside and wander around and think, what more could there be? Then I look up.
What a wonderful poem. Cal, I'd like really like you to start us off on this one. Did you see me? Yeah, I said you, Cal.
Oh, wow, this is a wonderful piece. As I continue to ponder, dawn slowly eliminates through my windows. The things I have bought and gathered shine as heavy, burdening chains of attachment. My house, my home, reveals itself as a temporary shelter. That's just, it's got a really philosophical feel to it. You know, just looking into himself, you know, and just pondering what he has, what he's acquired, and, you know, whether or not it's really, you know, enough to make him content. It's really very excellent, Billy Dunn. I really like this ending. As I open it, to my surprise, an entire world is on the other side. And then, you know, then I look up. You know, that's just really brilliant, really, really brilliant writing.
Mm-hmm. And Wayne, what did you think?
Wow, I said, I could have written this poem for he has said what I thought for many years. I've been poor and had nothing and I became wealthy and had everything and I lost it all again and came had nothing and I started again. And here I am, I'm comfortably happy and all through every bit of it, even the rich, the poor, and the bad, the good. I was happy all the way through. I thought it was a great, great life. I'm not mad about nothing. So that's where he's coming from. And you got to be content when you at the end. You got to be content at the end of the day. Be happy where you're at and be happy who you are. And that's what he's saying. And it's a great, great poem. It's me. Great poem.
Yeah. Exactly. Well said there. And Frank?
Yes. I have to say that this poem really is a reflection on, you know, the type of philosophy that we should espouse to, you know. You can't really live life, you know, living in the burdens of your woes. You have to really understand that there is, you know, beyond, there's life beyond just, you know, the walls, your four walls of your home. And you come to, you know, this introspective look, you know, I mean, this introspective, you know, thought of just, you know, going through the phases of life and experimenting life and realizing the pros and cons of life. I really like the contrast that he brings in here. And I have to say, Daniel is a very reflective writer. He brings in a lot of, you know, philosophy, which I do admire. And this is an excellent piece. No exception here. Great, great.
Mm-hmm.
Great write.
Yes, indeed he is. And Adam.
Yeah. Sorry, let me, I had to clear my throat. Daniel is, every time I get to read or hear someone read his, I'm blown away. As Frank said, he's so introspective and reflective. I said that in my own comment about this not too long ago. I just commented on it as we heard it, and I loved it. You know, and he does acknowledge the pain, right? But he doesn't live in it. You know, when he said, where is it at? Because right away he's telling you he's content with wealth or poverty. You know, that's the way to live. But he does still saunter, like, take you through it, take you on a journey of where what he's felt, what his possessions have been to him, or he wrote it so elegantly too. Shine his heavy burdening chains of attachment. You know, he realizes that they don't matter, but then in the end, he's happy to have such things or the life he's led. And as Wayne touched on, you know, through the ups and downs and the whole ride, to be content. Not necessarily happy. Happy is just a state of mind. Content is a life to live, a life of living. You know, because people always try to force you to be happy, and you're like, well, I don't feel happy. I should feel happy. Why? You know, it's like, because it's just an emotional state of mind. It's not who you are. You can be content and be sad. You can be content and be happy. I much prefer the idea of contentness, because you can be content and be depressed or sad. You're allowed to feel that, you know, and but not to live in it. You know, you keep moving and life, it goes on. This is a very philosophical piece. It's brilliant. Daniel is always brilliant, and I just love his writing.
Yeah, interesting comment there, Adam. Thank you. And Pam, you got anything else you can add?
I have not commented on this one yet. I thought it was beautiful and thought-provoking, and I really like how it touched on the idea of the temporary nature of the things of Earth and then of finding true contentment beyond ourselves. So very well done.
Mm-hmm. And Martha?
That was a wonderful poem of valuing the important things in life and also knowing what they are.
Yes. Well, very well said. And Jean, did you have anything to add?
Well, I don't know if it's an addition to, but I do have a comment lined up. But since you called on me, I better check the phones, Chris. The last three times you called on me, I had callers. That was pretty funny. I was like, wait a minute. I thought this was an excellent write for sure. Incredible imagery and wonderfully expressed. I really loved it. I thought he did an excellent job. Dan's a great writer.
Yeah.
And I appreciate each one of the reads I've seen of his so far. And pretty incredible. So well done, Dan, and thank you.
And Tom, you read that so beautifully. What are your thoughts on the poem?
Oh, thank you. I like the way he goes through the things that he has garnered and reaped in life and lists them up and looks at them and then puts them down and realizes that if this is all there is, then the things I have bought and gathered shine as a heavy, burdening chains of attachment. And when he lets go of his attachment and begins to notice the life that enters his temporary shelter, that he realizes is that he is called to move on, to move forward, and to reach out. Because I guess I look at this from someone who's somehow gotten old. I wake up every morning knowing and feeling very young and look at the mirror and realize that I'm not there anymore. But anyway, he catches it and reflects it back with, I wonder what more sunlight can offer me as I turn, I see a door, as I open it to my surprise, an entire world is on the other side. For we never grow old when we continue to learn, when we continue to live life. And time may continue, but we stay young. We stay young at heart. We stay full of joy. And I love that. I step outside and wander around and think, what more could there be? And then I look up, because there's always more. It's just a matter of attitude and perspective and big pockets, perhaps. Great comment.
Yeah, I thought. Amazing. I thought this was an amazing poem, a very touching poem, very eloquently written, and on the, you know, the value of what's really important in life. And I thought, Daniel did an excellent job. Okay, so we'll go on to Rain 474. And Wayne, could you give that a read for us, please?
I can read right now, but my computer went down. I can't see nothing. I'm trying to get back up
now. I can read it for you. If you want, I could read it instead for him.
Okay,
I have the same issues there, Wayne. I completely understand that. This is a poem called Don't Miss It, and it goes like this. The blues of the sky, waves are bye-bye, wearing a colorful coat, at dawn in dusk boat, sailing smoothly to new hour, a monochromatic affair, circling the wheel of a nature, not missing its accordion, rhythm, feature. In its arms, life opens its eyes, and weaves its sublime ties, enjoying every moment glued with its bonding cement. Phantomy merry stage of life, you stepped on the golden grass of life. When your heart opened its eyes, who could export you to the highs? Where life seems so nice, and its eyes with fiery peace, and rays of eyes, hold hands, making the hour to finally stand. For our hearts had already fallen, and the ocean of love had already stolen, that was once only mine, has now become the love wine. Falling in love is an awesome feel, and your better half is on the wheel, carrying you to town halls of Paris, way, way far away from every element of crisis. Falling in love with the same man every time, pulls off the membrane of not to him, often popping its head like Joey's, in hope of meeting the extraordinaries, allowing to explore the depths of love, untouched at the bare devotion like treasure buried. Falling in love is always a wise choice, but fills your life with wonderful voices in the poem.
Great read, Frank. And we'll start off with, let's do, Jean, let's start off with you. Maybe we'll have more callers.
Wait, let me look. No callers. But we have a wonderful lineup, so I'm not going to say anything.
Oh, my gracious, yeah.
I'm telling you, yes. Beautiful word tonight. I think this was a wonderful piece. I think it was very imagery rich, you know, throughout, and a wonderful picture painted of this moment in time. Definitely, really excellent job. And it just, you know, the details in each line is incredible. So very well done, Rain, and thank you for sharing that with us, for sure. Just us.
And Pam?
I really liked how this whole write was filled with tidbits of wisdom. I thought it was a wonderful write on taking the opportunity to enjoy life and to learn. So very well done.
Yeah, I agree. And what about you, Adam?
It was wonderful. Did some interesting things, like was daring to use certain words that not necessarily anyone else might use. So I think that also tied into the idea. That probably has nothing to do with it at all, though. But the fact that just don't miss it, give it a go, you know. And I didn't know. I wish they would have included the picture with it, but I went and found what the picture went to the prompt, and it's a very endearing one. It's, you know, the woman is so buried into him, and he just leans upon her, and they're all fat, like at this point, like the dog. Her, him, they've all gotten so fat, and I love it, and just the way they lean into each other in the picture almost speaks to the, you know, just go with it, and don't worry about it, and I loved it. The read was well done, and the write was well done. I just wanted to see it compared to the picture he chose, the prompt he chose, because it's interesting to know, like, what exactly spoke, you know, to try to find what textures in the visual might have touched upon the write itself, you know. So I was hunting it down. Yeah, but it's really good. I like how he or her used the monochromatic, you know, involved with the circadian rhythm. It was awesome. It's a great piece.
Thank you. And Martha, what about you?
Well, it was a wonderful emotive rite of love and a lifetime of love together. It was beautiful.
Okay, and that's wonderfully said, Martha. And Cal?
Uh,
This is a really beautiful write. I like fathoming every stage of life. You step on the golden grass of life. When your heart opened its eyes, who could export you to the highs? This is really awesome. I like that. I love that so much. Yeah, just, you know, open your heart, open your eyes. You never know what you're going to find. Yeah, I really like this. It's a beautiful poem.
Yeah, it is. And what about you, Frank?
I have to say that what I do enjoy about a poem like this, it's sincerity, you know, the admission that's being, you know, personalized. You know, when you talk about love in this regard, in this degree, you know, the one thing that always inspires you about love is those feelings, those sentiments expressed, the thoughts that come, that accompany it. And I think that she did a wonderful job. I like the lines that Kel had mentioned before, but every one of these lines is just dripping with a wonderful sense of reverence there, you know, and I can only imagine that. I mean, what she's expressing there, you know, that type of love, you know, some of us, you know, never really experiment this type of love, and those who do, you know, we never want to lose it.
Mm-hmm. And Tom?
Well, this is a lovely, you want to say, ode in a sense to the idea that love has its own permanence. And that as we grow, and that as we explore the world of love with someone else, we grow closer and closer. I love that center verse where life seems so nice amidst ice with fiery peace. When rays of eyes hold hands, making the hours to finally stand. And then a little later on where she goes, falling in love with the same man every time. Pulls mm-hmm. of the membrane of the naughty hem. Been popping up like heads of Joey's, its head like Joey's in hope of meeting the extraordinary. There's just a gentle sort of laughter, not laughter at something, but laughter in, as an expression of just the sheer joy of being alive, being in love, and knowing that it's not going away. And isn't that wonderful? Mm-hmm. So nicely said.
Yes, indeed. And Wayne, are you back?
Yeah, I'm back. I heard Frank read it. I finally got the feedback back up. This is a wonderful love poem. Falling in love is an awesome feel. Like she said, the emotion of love in this poem is wonderful. I'd love to be loved like that again. This is just an open, sincere poem of total faith and love. She's a wonderful person for just writing a poem like this. You tell you can read your soul. Great job with this poem.
Yeah, I thought it was an amazing, it had amazing flow and rhyme all throughout the piece, and it had a heartwarming enchantness in throughout it, and I loved the whimsical feeling, you know, throughout, which reflected well on the art here, so I just love this piece. So it's time, I think, for a little bit of Martha. So we're going to listen to your SoundCloud, your wonderful song, Martha. If Phil can put up the SoundCloud.
Here we go.
When I Stop to Think by Martha Gavel. It seems to me that every day life sends more stress my way. So many troubles and trials galore, and all to me life adds more. Money problems and health too, so many things I must get through. Sometimes I get weighed down, I feel like in life I'm gonna drown. Yes, life pours water over me, and it seems there's no relief. But before I go over the brink, I just take time to stop and think of all the things I look forward to, like your smiling eyes of blue, the tender touch of your hand, how your love helps me stand. Yes, life pours water over me, and it seems there's no relief. But before I go over the brink, I just take time to stop and think. Life comes at me fast and hard, but I always have you in my heart. With you, I can rise above it all, and I can stand a bit more tall.
Wow.
I love this, Martha. I love your course. The yes, life pours the water over me, and it seems there's no relief. But before I go over the brink, I just take time to stop and think. This is such a profound, touching right, Martha. Like, I feel you talk to us in an intimate way here. And this is one of my favorites. Maybe it's because you wrote it for my contest. You know, I'm biased, but I just love this, right? It's just so deep and so wonderfully written throughout in each line. And Kel, what do you think?
I agree with you, Naomi. It's a very heartfelt, touching poem of, you know, the stresses of life and just stopping to think, you know. It's like, you know, count to 10, just give yourself a chance and think about it. Might not be as bad as you think it is. So, very well done, Martha.
And Wayne? Is Wayne there?
He seems to have disappeared.
Oh.
No, he dropped.
Oh, he dropped. Okay. Yes, he had computer problems, I think. Okay, Frank, what about you?
Well, if I can say, first of all, Martha, you always amaze me with your renditions, you know, your singing. You know, it's beautiful when you can express yourself through the artistry of music. The poem itself is just a wonderful written poem. I like the expression that you display here. There's so many good lines here. But I have to say the ones that I like is the one that the most is the one that ends there with life comes at me fast and hard. And you say, when with you I can rise above it all and I can stand a bit more tall. You know, this is the message there that I took from this poem here. And you always bring us this wonderful romantic pieces. But not only are they romantic, they have a message to it. There is a moral as well to these pieces here. So you do, bravo for you in, you know, in the... And the singing, bravo, and the writing as well. It was just completely, it was just magnificent.
Oh, thank you.
I agree. And Adam?
Yeah, I always love Martha's songs. I love her singing, so classic. And I've been seeing a lot of vulnerability out of her lately. So I mean, it's good to see. You know, she's got her, she always has her, like he said, like Frank said, her wit and her morals and her, you know, strength, you know, and she's been sharing a lot more vulnerable pieces lately in song. So it's nice to see that side, because usually, you know, she's kind of strutty, and it's nice to see a different side of an artist, whatever side it may be. You know, so often we got to get pigeonholed as one thing in some way, and it's good to see other sides of her, that she's vulnerable and needs this person. You know, that they help her be so tall and stand. You know, it's revealing to us that this other person in her life is that thing, that is that pillar that helps her stand so tall and strut before us sometimes. And you know, that we all have somebody we lean into or that hold us up when life's troubles mount and wave about us like the ocean, you know, or pours water over us. Amazing, Martha.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And Pam?
I thought this was a wonderful heartfelt song on how sometimes we feel like life has us drowning in the deep end and overcoming challenges and standing tall. So very well done, Martha.
Yeah, it is indeed. And Tom, what are your thoughts?
Well, I just like the idea that, you know, our strength comes from being together, both inside of ourselves and with someone else, so that when all the messiness that life is, the chaos and the things that disrupt all the best plans, but allows us to stand tall as the person that we share our lives with. I think that's a lovely idea, lovely sentiment, and something I can align with. So, yeah, I'm absolutely delighted by all of this.
Mm-hmm. And Jean?
Yeah, I thought this was another great piece. Martha, I think you did a wonderful job. And, you know, it's always nice when you have that that love in your heart, how it can carry you through, you know, almost anything, you know. And I think that's shown through in this piece. Very well done.
Okay, so Adam, Albatross, Adam, Adamatus, you're up.
Hold on, let me get to the board. Oh, I'm reading my own. Okay.
Yeah.
I forget which prompt it was, but the picture's right there with it.
Yeah.
It's the same one that Daniel did. It was the one that spoke to me the most. I don't know why. Maybe it was just because of the emptiness and the reflective nature of it. Anyhow, no regret. Life, it seems, brought me full circle round to the edge of what could be a perfect eternity. Millions of miles away, reflecting on the spring, summer, fall, and now winter of my life, I see the truth of living and loving and the ruse of regret. Happily I've sauntered along, almost strolling through, now without you. I feel somewhat out of tune, the notes are still there, and you always my muse. I wait for night to share together our brilliant moon. I see you there on shores awaiting me soon. To hold you again in love's truest embrace, through my life I find your every trace. So on the edge of distance's sword, I miss you ever lovingly awaiting my time with you to reunite. End poem.
Yeah, I thought this was a wonderful, heartfelt write. Almost a kind of a sadness and longing I felt throughout the lines. I see you there on shores awaiting me soon to hold you again in love's truest embrace. I thought this was an awesome, heartfelt write, Adam, here. It really touched me. And I just ate this write up. It just hit me in the gut. It's just so beautifully written. And what about you, Kel?
Do we lose Kel?
I was just, you know, happily listening along, and, you know, I heard my name and it's, oh, shit.
Yeah, it happens to me, too.
Let's see. Okay. Yeah, I like this. I like it a lot, Adam. Living life without, you know, I see the truth of living and loving and the roots of regret. Happily I've sauntered along, almost strolling through. Now without you, I feel somewhat out of tune. There's some really, really lovely wording and metaphors. It's just really beautiful. I'm kind of out of it tonight, so if I'm not 100%, forgive me. But this is just very well done.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
And Frank?
Yes, I have to say, first of all, kudos for this write. I really like the self-reflection in this piece here. You know, it takes a lot of, you know, realizing, not only realize or realization, but also takes a bit of awareness of experience, you know, whether they're good or bad. You know, you bring us here in the fold of the seasons here with spring, summer, fall, and winter, but you also bring us the emotions there, you know, being happy. You know, you also bring us there the whole notion of what nature, you know, with the moon there. But I think this whole poem, the essence of this poem, is found within those last lines there. I would say, I miss you, which are three powerful words. You know, however you put those three words, they will epitomize your heart forever. And I think this is what this poem really invokes in me, that longing, yet it has that that natural feeling. And this poem feels like it's so natural that I don't think you really pressed on it. I think you really wrote it from your heart, and you just wrote what you felt.
Thank you, Frank. That's exactly how it came out. Like it was one stroke of the pen. I often write that way. People are always like, what? You wrote that like in 5 minutes? Yeah, I just felt it and let it out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Best type of poetry, my friend.
And is Martha still with us?
Yep.
Yeah, what did you think?
I thought it was a wonderful example or how it is to lose someone you love so much that your whole heart just feels like it's been torn apart and all you can do is just wait for that time when you'll be together again. That was a beautiful poem.
Thank you. And that was exactly the part of the sentiment I wanted to invoke, that I just put a comment to how I came to the theme of it when I did write it. It was just taking all that art I saw, and like it's all a story, and I saw that she was no longer there. He now lived in a camper, you know, and was traveling alone. So I thought she had passed away. And I wanted to touch on the idea that they had had a life together, and it wasn't over because she was gone. It was just him now remembering all the things they had done and been through, and he can't wait to be with her again. He's not really sad. He's longing just to be with her again, to share in that great final adventure. You know, I mean, I hope I touched on that in it. I think you guys kind of felt that, so.
Yeah. Yeah, you did. And I loved Cal's comment on the board. You wrote, it's amazing how many different images can be formed from the same picture. And it's true. We have some amazing poetry written from these images tonight. Pam, what were your thoughts?
I really thought this was a beautiful and thoughtful write on the idea of setting regrets behind us, no longer worrying about them, and just looking forward to the reunions that will someday happen. So this is very well done, Adam.
Thank you, Pam.
And Jean? Jean, are you on mute?
Well, of course I was. Jeez, I hope I remember. No, I'm kidding. I thought it was a wonderful reflection of an undying love. You know, the element of faith spoke out to I think, everybody, you know, that we will reunite, feel, you know, no matter what happens. I mean, you know, there was a great sense of it'll be all right, and I'm hanging in there because it's going to be all right. That was just my take on that. But I thought it was an interesting choice because of the image. You know, I think the image is an interesting one, you know, and it says this is the life because it's minimalist, you know, you don't need a lot, you don't have a lot, you know, you get rid of all the extras in your life. You're running on just what you can fit in that camper. And but anyway, it was a great job, very much so. Well done.
Thank you.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. Great right, Adam. And Pam, could you give the next read to... Next right to read. Sorry.
Let's get that out of there.
It's a great picture, too, the art they chose. I love this one. I love this one a lot, too. I don't know why I didn't choose this one, because it's beautiful art.
All right. This is There Is a Place by Efold657. And it goes like this. There is a place beside the sea which always meant just you and me. In later years, we took our pup. We still held hands. It was enough. We've seen the sea in all its moods, its storms when our under clouds it broods, its colors silver through to inky black. It ripples, soothes when life attacks. We're more than 60 years together. The craft we sailed met every weather. Its sturdy prow sailed up then dipped. We never called to abandon ship. At first the seas were sweetly calm. Days were busy. The nights were warm. We loved our children, loved each other. The family bond strong like brothers. Work brought joy in some turmoil. We sought smoother seas, easing toil, walking homeward hand in hand. I look at the footsteps in the sand. End poem.
That's beautiful. And Cal, why don't you start us out on this one?
This is absolutely a very beautiful visual. All the moods of the ocean or the seaside, and how they spent the time together there, and then relating that into their relationship. This is really beautiful, very beautiful portrait. We're more than 60 years together. The craft we sailed met every weather. Its sturdy prow sailed up, then dipped. We never called to abandon ship. That's beautiful. I like that. I really like that. You never give up. Don't give up.
And Frank?
Well, this poem really is remarkable in the sense that, the duration of this love that's being, exposed here, 60 years here in this poem, it's remarkable that, they could be that long. But I just like the elements that are brought in of nature in this poem. Love in itself, it swoons you. But when you have someone there to share, the elements of love with nature, it becomes even much more of a romantic feeling. And I like that whole notion there of how, when that same line I said, we're more than 60 years together, the craft we sailed met every weather, and it goes on to say, we never called to abandon ship. It's a testimony of how strong, how sturdy that ship is when it's called love.
Mm-hmm. And Adam?
Yeah, Frank, hit it there. That was the moment that struck me the hardest in that read. It was like the pivotal turn of the poem. Like at that moment you realized it was, because it was set up when she had said what the ship was built of, but then it was for sure brought home in the fact that no matter how hard it got, they never abandoned ship. And what a great sentiment in a world, not only just, I don't know what country she's from, and every society's different in how things happen, but America here, divorce runs rampant and it's okay. Like no one cares anymore. Oh, you can't, no one can even make it a year. They're giving up. What happened to the 60 years, the 70s, years, the 80 years together? They don't exist anymore. And it's a fairy tale and it's sad. But this nails it home how beautifully deep it can be to find true love. Maybe not even true, but true love. Love is a choice. It's not just some ethereal thing that pulls you one way or another. You choose to love, and you fight through. You fight with the person through love together. And this is just immense. It's an immense piece. Like you said, it's a testament to the ship that they built together, and it sailed through. Love it.
Yeah. And Martha, I'd love to have your comment on this piece.
I think it's a beautiful poem, a story of a love that began young and lasted through all the years and all the tears and everything that came their way, and it's still strong. I think it's just gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. And Pam?
I really thought this was beautiful. It had wonderful rhyme and flow, and I liked that it was a story about a love that lasted a long time, and not because it was easy, but because they were willing to work hard at it. So just an excellent write and very well done.
Yes, indeed. And Jean?
You know, I really like this piece very much. I love the, here's what I said. I said, you know, wonderfully penned piece, reminiscent of a love well tended. But I have to say, you know, I was wandering down and looking at comments, and I was surprised. You know, she said such a, you know, she thanked you for your comment, Naomi. She said, I lost
Yeah, I was going to read it.
That was 11 years ago. 11 years ago, that makes her in her 90s. I'm like, go girl.
Whoa, I just saw that
wonderful,
myself.
Wonderful. Yeah, what a wonderful, wonderful piece. And what an incredible person that is. You know, wonderful work.
That's almost one of our brands. But it also, like, reaffirming how strong. Wow.
Well,
she goes on to say in her comment, it's been a long time alone, but he left many blessings. So just a touching write about sharing life with a loved one.
Yeah.
Yes,
she left a legacy because she has 11 great grandchildren.
Great.
A lot of great grandchildren.
Wow, 11 greats.
Yeah, that's awesome. Really awesome.
Yeah,
beautiful.
I did.
And from their love, you know, just from those two getting together, we have all these people doing all these amazing things probably in the world, you know, from her children to her grandchildren to her great-grandchildren. What a legacy built upon holding it together. Jeez.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Pretty amazing.
I think this art brings out this and a lot of people tonight, they're the art. So, Frank, you're up.
All right. My poem is called Love the Little Things, and it goes like this. Life is a long odyssey for which I embark from its solitary port towards the vast ocean of the thoughts of my mere imagination, to an unknown place of the waves, of a million mysteries and treasures, but the soothing sails of my bold adventures as my vital compass. I am aware of the state of my fragile mortality thus exposed, and to the destined day of the actuality of my ultimate death. But my fate will not be reduced to the day I died in this world, for I shall be remembered for my humanity, not my finality. With a broad kaleidoscope of colors I can paint from a canvas, a never-ending space full of the shining stars in giant galaxies, all from the innovative creation of the genuine breath of an idea, emerging from the mist of the particles of many floating words. Life brings the merriment of the beauty of its exploration, the reasons to bear witness to its fruition and its worth, the absolute nature of its embodiment and of its visage, the little things that seem insignificant to disregard and take for granted. In the poem.
Yeah, this is beautiful, Frank. I just loved it. It's touching all through. Your lines are amazing. And I just love the way you, that second to last stanza there with a broad kaleidoscope of colors I can paint from a canvas, never-ending space full of shining stars and giant galaxies. That's so well worded there. Cal, what did you think of this piece?
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, I'm having some issues. it's a wonderful it's a wonderful philosophical right, Frank.
I know it's different than most of my pieces there, but
sure. Yes, it's beautiful, absolutely. I am aware of the state of my fragile mortality, thus exposed unto the destined day of the actuality of my ultimate death. But my fate will not be reduced to the day I died in this world, for I shall be remembered for my humanity, not my finality. This is absolutely a wonderful piece. It really is. And it is, you know, just slightly unusual to some of your other works.
yeah. I appreciate that. Thank you very much, sir.
Well, there is a sensuality to it because it's because of the philosophical significance in this. You know, sensuality isn't just about how we relate to other people, but how we relate to ourselves. So this is a very beautiful piece.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much, Nadia.
You're very welcome, sweetie.
And Adam, your thoughts?
Absolutely. I agree. I was really hit with when he got into the stanza that ended with the humanity and finality. You know, I'm not reading it right now. I'm just remembering it in my mind. I don't have it up at this second. I just commented. I like the sentiment of the philosophical nature of it and the idea of that I am not this frail thing. I am not this shell that will pass away as but dust. You know, we are almost kind of echoing the last breed. You know, we are more than that. We are the kindness. We are the love that we leave behind, our legacy. And he's saying, I felt like he was saying, I am that. I am not this flesh, but I am the legacy of what I leave behind, the kindness and the good that I hope to have left and invoked in the world and bring about, you know, because we can, you know, as writers and artists and all these other things, we can kind of romanticize and be lost into the plane of the deepness of the grand, but then to bring it all back to, like, what I leave here, the good and of the nature of living, hopefully that is what will live beyond me. You know, not so much the pulling of words or the splashing of paint. And I mean, you know what I mean? It's more about what we leave behind and the goodness we've done for other people, the kindness and love. And that's what I felt, you know, because we are fragile. We are really a fragile just speck of dust, yet we were created for a divine purpose, I feel, a special set-apart thing from the rest of creation. And because of our frailty and because of because it's not beautiful because it lasts. It's beautiful because it doesn't last, you know?
Yeah, very
and
true. Then,
Sam,
thank you very much, sir.
Oh, yeah. Go on, Frank. Do you have anything?
I was going to say thank you very much for the comment there. Yeah.
And Pam?
Yeah, I thought this was absolutely beautiful. I like how this took a philosophical feel. It had a nice flow to it. I really appreciate it, how it reminds us that life is that journey, and along the way we have those opportunities to grab the gifts of wisdom, you know, and to find enjoyment in the trip, but also, as was mentioned, to realize that when we go on, we leave behind a piece of ourselves in the memory, good memories that people have of us. So just a wonderful write and very well done.
No, I appreciate that. I just want to say briefly, this poem here is basically inspired on
you know, experimenting life and enjoying life and coming to the realization and learning from our experiences, but going on to that odyssey, because life is an odyssey.
Indeed. Yeah. Jean? Is Jean there?
I'm here.
Martha?
I'm here.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Me and the mute button. I think this is an excellent piece. It was almost like a palate cleanser, because it wasn't a horror piece and it wasn't a deep love piece. It was it was a real piece. And I appreciate that. I do. I appreciate that, because I think that, you know, we're all multifaceted. And I think that this is a great way to express that. I thought it was well written and nicely expressed. There were so many great lines and great stanzas throughout, and I did like the one about the with the broad kaleidoscope of colors. I loved that stanza. I thought that was wonderful. So really well done, and thanks for sharing it with us.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
And your thoughts, Martha?
I thought it was a wonderful rite of not worrying about death and consequences, but taking hold of life and making it what you want it to be, so that you leave behind what you want to leave behind.
Yeah, very much true.
Absolutely true.
Yeah.
No.
You leave what you want.
Thank you very much.
No choice. Great insight with that.
Thank
awesome
you very much,
comment, Martha. And Adam, would you read a little bit of Marius for us?
Did you already put it up? I'm sorry, I missed it.
Yeah, it's there.
All right. Love all the little things in life. Love all the little things in life. Heaven's tears in the morning dew, the early sun ray passing through, the ocean waves so clear and blue. How all the flowers in spring renew. All these for me, all these for you. Love all the little things in life, a newborn cry so innocent, those red roses' subtle scent, all the family time happily spent, life itself, this great event, all this for us, magnificent. Love all the little things in life, a friendly hug, a kiss, a smile, a walk with you another mile, forgiveness, time to reconcile. The memories of the cathedral aisle, all these for us right here a while. End poem. Wow.
And Jean, I'll get you to go first on this one.
wait. No, not me. Marius, I thought this was a great piece. You know, it's true. It's all the little things in life. They're the things that make it worth living. And I think that you expressed that very well in here. You know, I think every now and then we all need to be reminded to pay attention to those things. We all know, you know, you hear, oh, stop and smell the roses and blah, blah. But, you know, then you kind of forget and it rolls off your back and, you know, you get caught up in, you know, the rat race again. And I will say the rat race. They usually win too, those darn rats. But it's nice to have a reminder saying, hey, look, this is what's important. And so I think you did an excellent job. And thanks for sharing.
Indeed. And Frank?
Yes. As always, Marius, is his pieces are always full of devotion. You know, there's no exception here. You know, the little things that timed for us might not mean the same thing for others. But when it's endearment of this nature here and of this reference of love, it is a beauty of its own. I just like the way he brings in this whole notion of his memories into this piece here and how much it really impacts in this poem here. I just thought it was a wonderful, beautiful, and inspirational piece.
Yeah, indeed. And Pam?
Yeah, I like how he had that repetitive line, and I think it was just a wonderful and thoughtful write on the whole idea of appreciating the little blessings of life. So very well done.
Mm-hmm. And Kel, what were your thoughts?
Well, I thought it's a little bit on the personal side. Love all the little things in life. A newborn cry, so innocent.
Mm-hmm.
Every now and then I can hear my 2-week-old granddaughter crying from upstairs. So that's awesome. I really
mm-hmm.
love this. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
It's full of beauty. Just beauty all the way through it. I love it. And, you know, it's wonderful to hear my the baby cry.
Yeah, so true.
I don't have to get up and go do anything.
You just want to hug them all day, eh, and rock them and just, yeah, everything
yep.
else just falls away, you know, it disappears.
That's right. It's wonderful.
And Adam?
Oh, I thought I had already commented. I only read.
Oh.
I don't remember. Did I say anything? I thought I already spoke. I don't know. I can't remember.
You just read.
Okay,
yeah.
I've been really in the thought of it and listening. So it's cool because I second what everybody's saying. I love how he touches on nature first and then brings it to the beginning of a family through and then, like, makes it intimate. Like the beginning of like your everyday family stuff, and then it makes it very it's very cool, it's very lovely, well done, and it is like we have to pay attention to these things because they do matter, and we do get caught in the grind of life, and we forget these little things that matter so much more than the big things. But he even kind of says these big things make a difference too. Like, well, I don't know, just because I mean a wedding's a pretty big deal. I think a wedding is a pillar of your life. You know, it's one of the roadmap marks, right? But it's not a little thing, but yet he still touches on it, that it's very important. A baby is not a little thing. To have a child, that's a huge thing. You just brought life into this existence. So he's saying that maybe sometimes that we take these things for granted, when there's maybe, you know, this isn't, not everybody's living that kind of life, and, you know, we forget that even the dew on the morning, you know, in the grass or the streak of sunlight that pierces your window might be, you know, just all these little things are great things to recognize that life is beautiful.
Yeah, indeed. I thought this was a wonderful, wonderful rite. He goes through all, you know, from the morning dew, you know, that glistens there, you know. And you take it for granted because it's one morning after another. And, you know, it's just like another morning there. But it's so wonderful to wake up and to see the morning dew glisten and, you know, smell the flowers and like Kel said, you know, the cry of a baby, you know, and as you just said to Adam, this is just a wonderful rite. So bravo, Marius. So Kel, I have you up for your sing-along jiggy. So when you're ready, Cal, hello? Are you there?
Maybe Cal dropped.
I'm mute. I was trying to write on the board, and I didn't realize that I was on mute. Okay, Cal Jiggy. And at the very bottom, there's actually a video of this little dog singing. If you're in
Russia. Oh, yeah. Oh, flipping. Cool.
Okay. There was a song that played on the radio. Sometimes I can't remember exactly which one, but it doesn't really matter which song. Jiggy sang along. Jiggy is a 5-pound bag of furry bones, part Chihuahua, another part Pomeranian, a little golden boy belonging to my daughter, who he loved to sing along. Jiggy would sit on her lap, or mine, whichever the case may be. He'd wiggle happily as he howled and barked to the melody. Jiggy, he loves to sing along. Jiggy would keep in tune the best he could, as long as the song was sung, or as long as we could let him, because, you know, the Jiggy loved to sing along. Jiggy would sing along and loud, his voice carried throughout the house, sometimes further, as the neighborhood dogs would howl as Jiggy sang along. And oh.
I want to know, do you have a dog named Jiggy for real?
For real. It was my daughter's dog, and he's a little chihuahua, Pomeranian.
Yeah.
Yep. And I said, there's a video. Yeah, he loved to sing. He loves to sing.
Wow,
such a
cool
name, Jiggy.
But my daughter, when she named it, didn't realize the connotations of that name, so we just shortened it to Jiggy.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
This made me smile all through, and it brought back so many memories of, you know, the dog I used to have that died. She was a German Shepherd there. She was a little bit bigger, but I mean, you know, she'd come everywhere with me, and she'd come jogging with me, and so this just brought back memories of that dog I used to have, and we just love our dogs. They're just like family. Pam, what did you think of this write?
Well, this was definitely a write that made me smile. I like that it was absolutely delightful, and I really enjoyed, Kel, that you shared with us your fun memories of time spent with family and the singing dog, Jiggy. I really honestly could see a children's book or two be written about a singing dog named Jiggy. So very cool.
And Jean, you have any dogs?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I have a little yappy dog. But I thought this was great, Kel. I thought it was funny. I thought it was a great writing, a great video. Oh, my God, that was too funny. And what a perfect image for you to write to. You looked at that, and I'm sure as soon as you looked at that, you said, yep, I know what I'm doing. You know, I could just see it. So I loved it. Well done. It was a lot of fun.
And Frank?
Well, I was waiting for the encore there, the song there, but I thought the poem was magnificent. In Jiggy reminds me of a Jiggy tune there of old days. And someone who is partial as well, because I have a chihuahua there, a deer, and I have to say this really brought me memories as well. Of what love is, you know, when you have a pet, you know, we have, you know, pets, those who have, you know, we share our lives with them and they share it with us, you know, we go through the good and bad with them. And I like what this poem encompasses here, because to me it does encompass the good and particularly the good memories here and the fun ones there shared, you know, dogs don't talk, they bark only, but when they do bark, they are asking for attention. And they're there from the thick and through. So I really like this poem here. You did a fantastic job here. Just waiting for the song there.
And Martha?
That was a real feel-good poem about a dog and the fun things they do that make you love them all the more.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any dogs, Martha?
No, I'm a cat person.
Yeah, I have a cat too. I love dogs, but I have a cat now, yeah. And what about you, Jean?
Well, I did comment on this already, honey.
Oh, sorry.
So,
okay.
Sorry.
That's the first time I mixed up. First time tonight.
Yep.
I think I got... Did I ask Hannah?
Oh,
Adam?
No. So I loved it. It was fun. It was fun and it had a nice sentiment of her pet. And we know that there really is a Jiggy, which is cool. Because it's always kind of like takes the air out of your heart when you find out that like something was totally fabricated in a way. Like they didn't even feel what they wrote. That always like breaks me down and makes me like, I don't want to read you ever again when I find out your piece has no real meaning. I mean, maybe that's just like a way I'm kind of jaded in that way. Like, I want your people speaking to mean something at least, You know, and it's cool that there really is a Jiggy. You know, and he loves to see the singing dog. He loves to be vocalized and stuff. So I love dogs, and I love, but I'm more endearing to cats, but I love dogs just as well. I've had a few in my lifetime.
Well, I have five cats and three dogs.
I didn't hear you guys because there's all kinds of static coming over the phone. Sorry.
Yeah. I don't know where that's coming from.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you, everyone.
Yeah. And Cal, would you like to read Linda, please? She's from Australia, so she was a
she's an amazing writer.
From Australia.
I'm familiar with Linda.
Yeah.
Linda's badass.
Yeah, sure. Let's see. You Ain't Heavy by Linda M.B. I will always take you with me, carry you. When you no longer have the strength to walk, my willing arms will never tire, empowered as they are. My blood enriched by love that flows through every vein. Look at what we've done, just you and I. Created beauty where once existed nothingness. Coaxed herbaceous buds and clusters from the dirt. They lie as rows of malachite in bands of dull and gold. We have cajoled the flowers of the flaunt themselves, flirtatious vixens, seducers of the sun. You never say too much. Your stoic silence is a warm and buoyant bubble. It cocoons the two of us inside from within. We face forward to our future. Contentedly, we fall along, oblivious to the voyeurs of our silent toil.
And I'd love, Frank, to have your insight on this.
Well, first of all, I thought it was an excellent read, an excellent poem. You know, this whole notion of there when we talk about sentiments there, and we are talking about remembrance as well, you know, which he says, I'll always take you with me, carry you, you know, we no longer have the strength to walk. This is a very powerful piece, you know. You know, this poem here has the very core, the depth of the heart spoken here. You know, it's a beautiful poem. I like the metaphors there of the flowers there. You know, I like the sensuality as well with the, you know, the flirtatious vixens and the seducers of the sun. This is, you know, it has that seduction, but it also has that, you know, that daring, you know, venture there. You know, and it does have that, you know, powerful lines there. But I really like the whole piece and many facades of expression. And I like that whole notion there of a voyeur. You know, I think for all that one moment in our time, you know, we express ourselves through observation. So there's nothing wrong with that, I would believe.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
And of course, and the sensuality.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll leave that for others to comment.
And Pam?
I really thought this was a lovely write on being there for an old friend and, you know, moving forward together in life and, you know, not worrying about any burden that you're carrying because, you know, you're doing that for them when, because they've given you so much joy in your life. So just a wonderful write and very well done.
Yes, indeed. And Martha?
I think it's a great ride of love and being in love so much that you carry each other through the hard times and you're always there for each other. And you really need no one but each other.
Yeah, indeed. And Adam, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm a fan of hers. I read a lot of her writing. She's immense. She has great ability to capture in a unique phrasing. If you notice, she has a very unique way she phrases and paints pictures with her words that are uniquely her. My favorite stanza was the last one because I loved how she revered, her reverence for his stoicism. So often women will kind of like get mad when guys are so quiet, like, why don't you ever talk and stuff? But here she's in reverence of his stoic nature. And truth be told, I think it's a lie that women often believe they want to hear their man express himself. They really don't. They really don't. Yet they say they do. They really don't want to hear him. So it's one of those weird fallacies women often put out there about, you never talk, you never da-da-da-da-da, when really they don't want to hear it. They really don't. But I love that she kind of painted that, you know, that she was in love with his stoic nature, that he was quiet, and she hung on like a bubble. I'm not reading it, I'm just remembering it. And that it popped. Like, that was when he would speak, it would be like, oh, my God. Like, you know, she was in love when she would finally talk, because he would still acknowledge and talk to her. But it wasn't until this bubble burst, and it was a protective bubble, you know, of his stoic nature, which there's a certain philosophical strength behind stoicism that supersedes almost everything. Being a stoic is immensely moment, you know, living in a moment, mindfulness, and a strength of reserve that you don't need anything, yet he does subtly need her. And he only lets her know it in those moments that burst, like this bubble of protection. I don't know. I'm not reading it right now because I closed it. But I love Linda to death. She's a great writer. I encourage people to read more of her work.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. And Jean?
Yes,
are you new?
I think I was. I can tell the truth. But I think that this was a wonderful write. I loved her intro stanza. I think that put a great perspective on the piece itself. And then she just went into something. Each stanza carried a different bit of a feel to it. But I really loved the beginning stanza. I think it was a great entrance to the poem itself. And I think it just drew you in to make you want to read more, you know, so it was nicely done. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Martha, did I ask you?
Yes, you did.
Oh, sorry. Frank, would you do us the honor of reading for Wayne?
All right, but mind you that I'm not Wayne, and if I do, I do out of respect for him, because he has his remarkable voice. This is a poem called Reach for the Beach, and it goes like this. Two sunburnt souls looking across the seas, relaxed, enjoying the cool inward breeze, showing their love, holding each other's hand, brought best friend with them, sitting in sand. Wearing their hats, keep sun out of eyes. Weather's nice, not a cloud in the skies. Going to be hot shortly afternoon. Lady feels cheerful, humming a tune. Watching the white caps jumping off waves. Puppy is delightful the way it behaves. Life is good when you go out and play. Don't we all need to seize the day? They come here often to sit and talk before they leave. Take time for a walk. Try to get home before they perspire. Both are grateful. They've got to retire. In the moment. I'm sorry.
I
cannot
do
it. In his way, is just, it's hard to imitate Wayne. And he's just he's a profession of his own there.
Why don't you continue your comment, Frank?
Oh, no. I was saying I thought the poem was just I thought it was a fantastic write. I mean, he's always known for his wit, you know. He's always known for his rhyming scheme. But I've since told him over months ago, but I don't really look at that anymore. I look at his way of expression, the way he writes, you know, his creativity. And this poem here was just a fabulous example of that, you know, of that creativity. He always brings it, you know, and he's always, I would say, politely, he's always damn entertaining. He says that about me, but I say in retrospect the same thing about him. And I thought the poem was overall, was just delightful. I like the way he just encompassed the, you know, the prompt there. You know, it had a delight of its own. It had just a beauty as well. It was just a wonderful, wonderful poem. And then, of course, you know, I like the way he just carried on with the, you know, with the depiction of that prompt there.
I love how he always writes, and he puts humor into his writes like that.
Yeah.
Both
yeah.
are grateful they got to retire.
I couldn't do Wayne's voice. I'm sorry. It's hard for me to do that voice. Yeah.
Yeah, he has a wonderful accent. Yeah, and Pam, what did you think of Wayne's write?
It had wonderful rhyme and flow. It was a delightful write on spending that perfect day at the beach. And I really like how he reminds us that we all need to take time to seize the day. So very well done.
Yeah, so true. And Adam?
Yeah, I was going along the same lines. I was actually writing a comment as, like, before Pam started talking, I was going to touch on the seize the day. Because you get to realize, like, because that was their philosophy, this couple, that therefore they were able to retire because they did seize their days. You know, because you don't, at first I was kind of like, oh, he's just describing the picture. But then he really dived into it and, like, gave you insight into who they were as a couple, their belief systems, you know, and that they've made it this far together. And it's very wonderful, really. They're almost like they're going to leave the beach before all the clamoring, you know, that comes with to go out there, because it's obviously summertime because it's hot. But they're about to escape from that and the clamoring crowds. They just went to do them, and they're going to go home and enjoy that they are retired and they have seized the day already in their life. Beautiful.
Okay,
like, it's a great thing.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And, Kel, do you ever take Jiggy for a run along the beach?
Well, no, I'm nowhere near a beach. I'd say I was taking Jiggy for a couple of runs when he'd run off. Chasing him.
Fetching a bone, yeah.
Yeah, no. I love this. I really love this poem. And Wayne definitely has a very distinct style of writing. This is just a very delightful, almost magical write. It's just, you know, delightful. It's very sweet. I love the way going to be hot shortly afternoon, lady feels cheerful humming a tune. I thought that was a cute little addition. Just very sweet and loving poem.
And Pam?
Oh, I already commented.
Oh, sorry. That's my second mix-up. Okay, my sheet of paper is getting all, Adam?
I already spoke to Naomi.
Oh, yeah.
It's that hour.
Okay,
it's
let's get on to the next poem here by Tilla. And Jean, would you give that a read for us?
Sure. You betcha. Let me see now. Okay, this is My Grandparents' Allotments by Tila. My grandma and grandpa had a big allotment. They grew their favorite greens sometime. I used to help them on the fields where we used to keep plenty of earthworm. Used to hide behind my grandpa. Look, big snake. My grandpa used to laugh. Child, do not be scared. These are called earthworms, and gardeners love them. They're good in cultivating our land, and they grew plenty of good vegetables like spinach, coriander, onions, and garlic. French beans was my favorite and had small, beautiful, colorful flowers. On them, they had apple and pear tree, too. End poem.
Oh, wow. I just love this poem. It brought so many memories back of being on my grandmother's I wrote her tour there, the being on my grandparents' farm and growing and spending holidays there and helping them out in the garden and everything. So this is just beautiful. And Kel, what did you think of this poem?
Oh, this is delightful. My grandparents had a farm, but they didn't have the regular little gardens. But my aunt and uncle did. And I remember one summer, me and my sister got stuck in the mud in the middle of my aunt's green beans. And we got in trouble. Oh, my goodness, we got in trouble because we were wearing a brand new pair of shoes. Yeah, it brings back memories. It's really a cute little brevity, you know, spending time with grandparents in the vegetable garden. It's very sweet.
And Adam?
Yeah, it was a very wonderful, nostalgic piece, and I thought she captured the voice of a child, like as in that nostalgia, like thinking back to the grandparents. I don't know how old she is, but I felt like, because I've seen her other writing, and it's different, so I felt she captured that voice in her nostalgia. She was almost just like a kid again writing that, and a great read by Jean, too, by the way. Like, it kind of read like I'm thinking these thoughts out loud, like, and it was very well done as like a prose brevity or something of that nature, totally unique and wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And the wisdom of the grandfather, too. I love that. You know, don't be afraid of these things, you know. That was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought this was a beautiful and heartfelt, nostalgic write, you know, looking back at time spent with her grandparents and the life lessons learned from helping in the garden. So very well done.
And Martha?
I thought it was wonderful. It brought back memories of my late husband. He loved the garden. He had raised the biggest garden where people have lawns. He had garden, and he was always getting me to go out and help him. It brought back wonderful memories. It's a beautiful poem.
Yeah, I agree. And Jean? Jean, are you on mute?
You gotta stop sneaking up on me, Naomi. That's it. I thought it was a great piece. I really did. I love the how she reminisced about the grandmother and grandfather's garden. And I thought that she really, it was a great take on that prompt. And I'm sure she thought that prompt was just a great piece to work off of. You know, when you have memories like that, these pieces are relatable. So, excellent work.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing.
Okay, I have one little one. I think we have time for this little one. Martha, would you read it for us, please?
Quick?
Just a second.
Oh, yes. I'm so sorry, Frank.
No, I'll be brief here. This is a beautiful write, you know, and what I really like about Tilo's work at times that it's very simplistic in words, but it's very deep, profound in message, you know, and I love the whole notion of the memories, you know, and capturing those moments of poetry.
Indeed. So I have this little piece up here by EOD. Martha, could you give it a read, please?
Sure. Go Your Own Way by EOD. I slipped away from the guided tour and went my own way to see what they didn't want me to see. In poem.
Sure.
And Adam, what did you think of that little brevity?
It's a great lesson. It made me think of, for whatever reason, suddenly I'm thinking of Dr. Seuss, all the sights we'll see. Like, who cares what people tell you about things? Go explore the world. Go see what there is to see. Don't listen to what anyone says. Because sometimes people just, now I'm thinking of a lot of things. My mind's going down tangents now. So it was what a witty brevity, really.
Mm-hmm. And Cal?
Somebody's banging around out there. What's going on?
Sorry, that's just me. Just cleaning
okay.
up.
The bicycle.
I like this. This is short and sweet and definitely to the point. Yes, I slipped away from the guided tour and went my own way. And I don't want anyone to see what they didn't want me to see. Yeah, I'm going to go check around the back and see what they've got hiding back then.
I think of the song.
I thought it was really cute. I liked it.
Yeah.
And Pam?
Just a wonderful brevity about following your own path and very well done.
Mm-hmm. And Frank?
Well, I'll be very brief here. This poem, as brief as it is, it made me think of tomorrow. I need to get on a bike tomorrow, on a bicycle, and take me a ride as well. I like the last line there. I agree with what Adam said. That's what epitomizes his poem there. You know, the exploration, seeing what you need to see for your own eyes, not only just see what, perceive what others tell you. See what you can see of the world. And if someone like me who have seen much of the world, I do recommend that most of you do get a chance.
And Marcy, you read it. What were your thoughts?
I think it's a great poem on just getting out and seeing things for yourself. Don't believe what everybody says or what you read. See it with your own eyes.
Mm-hmm. And Jean, take us away.
Well, I thought it was a wonderful brevity, and a hooray for uniqueness, and I thought it was well done. And that brings us to the end of the show. This week, we have After Midnight with the Midnight Bomber, or Late Night with the Midnight Bomber, and Captain B2. And I believe that our friend Neutron Bomb has gotten her phone and or headset issue straightened out, so she will be joining in tonight. And I hope everyone will, you know, stop in and visit if they have time or the opportunity. And tomorrow we have the other production, and it's called Damn, That's Smart. So, everyone,
and I'd like to... I'd like to thank everybody for their awesome poetry. I know we didn't get through it all. There will be some carryovers. I'm so sorry. And I'd like to say so much thanks to everybody that phoned in, Tom, Kel, and Wayne, and Frank, Adam, and Martha. Thank you so much. So much for your time.
To you. Congratulations to you, Tom, tonight.
I didn't mess up too much. I just twice.
Both of you did a great job, and everyone else who commented, fantastic show tonight.
Thank you all.
Wonderful prompt, Naomi. Good job.
Yeah, what a unique prompt,
thank
too.
Thank you.
What a great way to highlight that artist, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought she was wonderful. Yeah. So good night, everybody.
Right.
Thank you again.
Bonne nuit.
Good night.
Bye.